This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Morning Run with Roshan Karnison. It is now 7:19 in the morning, Wednesday, the 30th of September. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Lawrence Todd, Director of Research at IDEAS, on unemployment training programs. But this morning on Twitter, we are asking you, what is your perception of the current job market? And there are four options. Very tough, getting easier, all good, not sure. So do let us know what you think. But in the meantime, let's talk about the World Bank's latest economic report. Because the World Bank has revised Malaysia's 2020 GDP forecast to a contraction of 4.9% from the previously estimated 3.1% decline. And this is following the country's sharper-than-expected GDP contraction in the second quarter of 2020 due to the COVID-19 impact. Now, according to World Bank's October 2020 economic update for East Asia and the Pacific, which was published yesterday, the change in its GDP forecast for Malaysia reflects the heightened uncertainty surrounding the start and speed of the global recovery, which would weigh on investment decisions and external demand. Additionally, the report also notes that the elevated unemployment rate and other weaknesses in the labour market will continue to weigh in on private consumptions. Thus, reflecting on these developments, the World Bank notes that most demand components such as exports, consumption and private investment are expected to contract this year, while government expenditure is going to increase mainly due to stimulus spending. But for more analysis on their report and Malaysia's economic recovery, we have on the line with us Richard Record, lead economist for Malaysia at the World Bank, and Chong Yu Kiat, his colleague also at the World Bank. So thank you for joining us this morning, gentlemen. Now, let's start with you, Yu Kiat, because one of the challenges that your very robust report cites is the fiscal pressures that countries face to weather the economic crisis brought on by COVID-19. Does Malaysia have that issue even after the government has successfully raised its debt ceiling from 55% to 60%?
Thanks for the question. But in Malaysia, similar to most developing countries in the region, worsening fiscal position, low revenue from mobilization, and a shrinking tax base will weigh on the government's ability to provide support if the short lingers. In a baseline scenario, the government debt is projected to reach around 60% this year. While the recently approved emergency bill has removed the immediate pressure on government debt, and overall, it has remained manageable, and it is mostly in ringgit and has medium to longer-term maturities, the government is still facing an increasingly difficult trade-off with tighter fiscal space. Policy choices to contain COVID-19 and provide consumption-supporting stimulus today will ideally be informed by how they will affect the recovery and growth tomorrow. And how the government distribute the burden of this increased debt over time will also matter for both future growth and distribution.
And Richard, another issue that COVID-19 has raised is, of course, social protection. Now, according to the report, Malaysia has mobilised its responses rather quickly. But what are the gaps that you have observed?
So I think an important lesson from the crisis is that actually the countries pre-COVID that had well-functioning social protection systems and good implementation infrastructure have been able to scale up and move much more quickly. And I think actually Malaysia is a really good example of this. From the region. Certainly when you look compared to other countries, both the pace and the scale of the response has benefited from having a universal national ID system, very widespread mobile phone coverage and high levels of financial inclusion. So certainly during the early stages of the crisis, it was really about moving quickly and getting cash out to support those who need it most, particularly at the lower end of the income distribution. I think the challenge now, particularly as we're looking more towards a recovery and the movement towards a new normal economy are many of the challenges that existing before the crisis, in that Malaysia reaches a lot of people, but it doesn't actually provide an awful lot. Certainly the scale of transfers are quite modest. Before the crisis, Malaysia was only spending about 1% of GDP on social protection. It's gone up a lot short term as part of the response. But over the medium term, I think the important thing is putting in place an SPE system which can really support a society which is becoming increasingly aged and provide an effective social safety net for those, particularly at the lower end of the distribution, who are going to go through significant structural change, particularly those in the informal sector and in sectors that are going to be severely disrupted by COVID-19 for a sustained amount of time.
But Richard, overall, what's your assessment on Malaysia's efforts to contain the pandemic and the fiscal strain it has been put under?
What's clear is we've seen that Malaysia's adopted a very robust and successful containment strategy since the pandemic first took hold, and certainly the numbers when you compare across the region. I think the challenge, of course, is that Malaysia went into this crisis with relatively elevated levels of debt. There's been a significant amount of spending to protect households and vulnerable firms. I think what will be increasingly important beyond the crisis is to start thinking about, rebuilding fiscal buffers. Malaysia's revenue as a share of GDP is only 15%, and that's really, it's well below the average for East Asia, and East Asia is well below the average for other emerging market and developing economy regions. So that means rebuilding space, not just so that buffers are rebuilt to be ready for the next crisis, but to support some of the investment in particular areas such as human capital and infrastructure that we know is really important for Malaysia over the medium term. And secondly, we know that parts of Malaysia's economy and particularly parts of the income distribution are going to need to be provided with support for a sustained period of time, particularly in parts of the economy that won't recover as quickly as others. So there will be a need for continued spending. We would argue that means, over the medium term at least, starting to think about new sources of revenue and particularly increased progressivity across the fiscal framework.
And Yuket, how do you rank Malaysia's recovery and how dependent is that on global economic recovery then?
Malaysia is expected to recover from the pandemic better than its larger peers in the region, except for China and Vietnam. Our estimates assume that Malaysia is able to continue suppressing the pandemic at relatively low human and economic costs. The strength and sustainability of recovery also depend largely on the external conditions. We expect a revival in trade next year as the government global economic activity gradually resumes, except for tourism-dependent sector, which are unlikely to recover soon.
And finally, Richard, COVID-19 allows for this great reset. So what kind of long-term policies should the Malaysian government adopt to overcome some of the structural problems that the country faces, rather than just take a here-and-now view?
I think the challenge is to focus very much on the short-term issues about responding to the pandemic. And of course, that's entirely natural. But we would argue in the World Bank, it's really important not to lose sight of the medium-term structural agenda that will drive long-term growth and well-being over time. And in fact, many of the issues that were of concern for Malaysia before the crisis are still there now. And in fact, perhaps even more so important in terms of the need to be addressed. I mean, just a few of them. Productivity, we know that's increasing the driver of economic growth. It comes through technological change and productivity and efficiency improvements at the frontier. On that, the record for Malaysia is fairly mixed. Parts of the economy that are subject to relatively more competition see much higher levels of productivity. So perhaps a focus there is, how can we sort of stimulate more competition across a larger share of the economy. Next, skills and human capital. Again, growth, in the future will be increasingly driven by the quality of skills in the workforce. That means focusing especially on educational quality and ensuring that the workforce of tomorrow is skills ready, particularly around issues such as digital skills, socio-emotional skills, and interpretive skills. Next, also female labor force participation. Again, this is an area where Malaysia lags behind not just regional comparators, but right across the world. There are lots of both structural as well as social barriers that prevent women going back into the workforce after having families. The extent to which some of those barriers can be addressed will be really important. And then also digitalization, extremely important for future growth in Malaysia before the crisis. I think COVID has put that process on steroids. So that means, ensuring that adequate broadband infrastructure is available, high speed and affordable, and across not just in urban areas, but in rural areas too, and ensuring that the population has the skills to thrive and benefit from digital opportunities, and that public services are able to function and reach citizens through digital channels. Finally, of course, social protection is not just about responding short-term to the crisis, but in having a framework which is in place for the medium term, and one which can sort of provide a basic level of support to those who need it, and particularly being conscious that Malaysia will increasingly become an aged society, and so there'll be increasing demands on the social protection framework to adjust to that new reality.
Thank you for your time. That was Richard Record, lead economist for Malaysia at the World Bank, with his colleague Chong Yu Kiat, giving us a rundown in terms of what to expect for Malaysia's recovery. Unfortunately, there's been a kind of a downgrade in terms of our GDP contraction, so it's going to be even worse than expected. But I think the last point is very valid, which is that this allows us to have that great reset. And, you know, what is lacking in our education system so that there's a skill mismatch, something that we'll be addressing with Lawrence Hot later on at 7:45 in the morning. But up next, we'll be taking a look at the US presidential debates, which is taking place at 9 a.m. our time today, with some help from Dr. Mitchell S. Kinney, professor at Department of Communications at the University of Missouri. That's going to be happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.